Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, what a time to bring on our next guest. Playoff baseball going on. Red Sox, Yankees. Boston 2, Yankees 1. Shot on ESPN right now of a Yankee fan that looks really upset. Let's welcome Stephen Thompson into the fold. Stephen, how much better do you feel right this very minute than maybe you did 10 minutes ago?
You know, the heart is still kind of beating out of my chest a little bit. I forgot what this feeling was like after a few years of not making the playoffs. But Masataka Yoshida, man, brought me back. Brought me back from the dead.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. We Pirate fans are on like year 8 of not making the playoffs. So don't. We know how it feels. So we'll try and keep you clear and concise as we talk Panthers with you. So we can get you back to watching the Red Sox close. Hopefully for your sake, closing this one out. The first question is, I guess, what you think in your mind is the biggest problem right now, because I think that post West Virginia, right? I mean, obviously a very disappointing loss to your rival. You never want to lose that game, but an opportunity to hit the reset button on the schedule that really matters, the conference schedule, and they blew 2 double-digit point leads and lost to Louisville. And it just feels like we're singing a completely different tune about these Panthers heading into this game against Boston College. So in your mind, what's the biggest issue right now?
Well, it in some ways feels a little unfair because on the whole, you know, you take the entirety of his play this season and it's been mostly pretty good, but like it's quarterback play, right? You think about that West Virginia game, Eli Holstein still threw for 300 yards and I believe one touchdown, scored another on the ground. He threw for 2 touchdowns against Louisville and looked really good for most of that game, but situationally, it just hasn't been very good for Eli Holstein. It's been some untimely turnovers. It's been, some missed opportunities. It's been, general command of the offense, which hasn't been, as smooth as anyone had really hoped it would be. So I think right now it's quarterback play. They need a little bit better out of that position. And Eli Holstein is certainly talented enough to give that to them. And it's just a matter of whether or not he can cut out some of the really egregious mistakes that have held this team back through the past 2 games. So it's not necessarily him being perfect, but it's, can you stop throwing interceptions in the red zone? Can you, make sure that down to down that this team is a little bit cleaner and operates a little bit more smoothly. So they're putting a lot on Eli Holstein, which is why I say, I hesitate sometimes to put it all on him. But, this is a guy they've invested a lot in. I think to a certain extent this team, and especially the offense, was built around him in a certain way. So they expect a lot of him. They need a lot out of him. And I think the quarterback play really has to be a lot better in order for Pitt to take some steps forward and right the ship.
Yeah, based off of how you closed that answer, I'm going to word it instead of what's the likelihood that he does, I'm going to say the likelihood that he doesn't. What do you think the likelihood is that Eli Holstein doesn't start against Boston College? I mean, Pat Narduzzi's somewhat noncommittal on that, but it sounds like that they're not quite ready to make a change at that position through 4 games.
Well, Holstein's job certainly isn't as secure as it was after that West Virginia game. I think you could have chalk that up to One bad game, and you let him kind of deal with that and work through that. But I think there's a little bit more of a sense of urgency around this team right now. Going 0-1 in ACC play, but losing back-to-back games against power conference opponents. I think now we're at 341 days since the last time.
Yikes.
It's beaten a power conference opponent. Yeah, it's a long time. So I think there is a little bit more of a sense of urgency. I don't know what percentage I would put it at, but certainly there's a chance that we see someone other than Eli Holstein, come out for that first series at quarterback. The thing is, though, as Cole Gonzalez has been exactly inspiring, in his kind of relief action, I know it's been really limited, but not exactly. And then your other option is a true freshman who I think is really talented, but still, true freshman, never really played meaningful college football before. That's Mason Heinstrom.
Yep.
It's a tough situation to be in. You haven't really seen, all of what Eli Holstein can be, I think, but certainly I think if nothing else, the leash is a lot shorter, even if he does end up starting on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. And I think one of the quarterback play takes the headlines because it's the most important position on offense. But I think a lot of people, myself included, expected a big time year from the run game, and highlighted by Desmond Reed. Obviously, he didn't play against Louisville, but this team through four games only averaging 3.5 yards a carry. Is there other things going wrong with, other than Desmond Reed not being available, as to why this team just hasn't found a way to effectively run the football?
Well, there's kind of twofold. Look, I think they were not super efficient running the football in their kind of, you could call it a preseason against Duquesne and Central Michigan. But then, especially against Louisville, I thought Juelz Goff and Jakarian Turner, kind of the second and third options there, played really well and gave them some really good carries. But those guys had a combined 6 carries in the second half, in a game that if you're Pitt, you were leading by double digits. I was a little confused as to why Pitt did not turn to the run more often. I thought they were getting good stuff out of Turner and Goff. But I think it's also a matter of, the penalties, which have been an issue over the past 2 games. I think it's 20 penalties for about 170-something yards over the past 2 games. You're getting put behind the sticks. You're getting put in bad situations for running the football. So Pitt needs to, that's kind of the operational thing that you wanted to see from Eli Holstein, is he able to keep them on schedule a little bit more? I think that would really help the running game as well. Pitt is a little bit skewed more heavily towards the pass, just kind of in general, ever since Cade Bell took over. So you expect that to a certain degree, but I think they've got some really good running backs. I think they've got an offensive line that's more suited to running the football, or is better suited to running the football than the share of plays or the share of run passes has kind of led on. So I would love to just see them, try it more, quite honestly. I think there's some meat on that bone that they can still get to.
That's Stephen Thompson, covers the Panthers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He is on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing plumbing and trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Let's shift to the defense. The secondary obviously struggled against Louisville. Miller Moss, 300 plus yards, 3 touchdowns. But I want to start at linebacker. Kyle Lewis has been borderline non-existent through the first 4 games. And if you would have told me at the beginning of the season that Rasheem Biles would be light years ahead of Kyle Lewis through the first quarter of the season, I would have said you were crazy, but that's what we're looking at right now. What's up with, one of the sharks and, the biggest shark coming off of last year in Kyle Lewis?
Yeah, it's interesting because I've kind of felt the same way. Like, you expect Kyle Lewis to pop in just about every game that you watch when you watch Pitt football. But I think around the facility, they view Rasheem Biles as kind of on even footing. They think of Kyle Lewis and Rasheem Biles as players of equal quality. Maybe it's part of our kind of, as spectators, people outside the facility, maybe that's part of our bias that we see Kyle Lewis as a superstar. He was the All-American. You expect him to keep that up all the time. But I think teams are going to game plan around Kyle Lewis a little bit more. They're going to try to put him into some more disadvantageous situations, kind of pick your poison type of thing, because there are three linebackers that I don't think you want to, like run plays towards their side on this Pitt defense. You know, quite frankly, I think Braylon Lovelace and Kyle Lewis and Rasheem Biles are all guys who are all ACC caliber players. But like you said, I think especially the West Virginia game, kind of watching that game back really surprised me how many times Kyle Lewis was put in coverage situations where he was getting beat, not necessarily for big plays, but it was a little bit routine, kind of, you know, short passes here and there that all added up. And then he was getting kind of swallowed up in run plays as well. So I wish I had a better answer. I'm a little bit surprised as well that Lewis hasn't really made as big of an impact in these two power conference games that Pitt has played. I guess the flip side of it is that Biles has been really good. He was wreaking havoc all in that Louisville game. But yeah, they certainly need more from Kyle Lewis, because I think the defense as a whole could use some more splash plays, right? Like sacks, tackles for loss. They put a lot of pressure on Miller Moss, I felt like, in the Louisville game, but weren't really able to finish off a ton of those plays. So definitely need more from Kyle Lewis, a guy who, you know, really cut his teeth making those splash plays.
All right, let's transition into the BC Eagles. They come in 1-3, maybe to an extent a skewed 1-3 because of their three losses. The only one, the biggest one was a 10-point loss to Stanford. The other two were two by one possession, one of them on the road to Michigan State. And with that, like, we'll start with the secondary. It struggled. Does the secondary have an opportunity to bounce back against Boston College on Saturday? What does BC bring to the table as far as their offense is concerned?
Well, they, you know, Tommy Castellanos was effectively benched, and I guess, you know, whether you can say he decided to leave the program or Boston College wanted him to get out of the program. Either way, they had to turn to a new quarterback, another Alabama transfer, funny enough, Dylan, I'm going to butcher his name, Longerin, I believe. But he can really throw the ball. He's a talented guy. And they got some good receivers like Lewis Bond. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a layup that this Pitt secondary can kind of get back on track. I think they're getting a little bit healthier, which will really help. But still, this is a pretty talented BC passing game. And I think they're a little bit more geared towards the pass than they were in the past, or maybe as most of us might think generally of Boston College teams in the past. They're a little bit more geared towards throwing the football. So, you know, some opportunities in the sense that the ball will be in the air, but it's still a good passing offense. And I wouldn't necessarily say that this is going to be an easy task for the Pitt secondary this weekend.
How about the run defense? In addition to a running back that Boston College has that's been pretty darn good, 5.7 yards a carry, they're stacked against a phenomenal name for a running back in Turbo Richard. Turbo might be the greatest first name for a running back of all time. does the opportunity kind of present itself for the Pitt run defense to maybe bounce back a little bit as well?
I mean, I think the Pitt run defense is like perfectly fine. I've been really impressed with what they've been able to do, especially against, you know, that tandem of Duke Watson and Isaac Brown last week for Louisville. I've been really impressed with the Pitt run defense, and, you know, to a certain extent, not super surprised. It's something that they weren't necessarily very good at in 2023 when they went 3-9, improved a little bit last season. This is a group that I think is borderline elite against the run. So, you know, Turbo Richard, I think his name maybe outperforms what he's actually doing on the field. Maybe, you know, I think people were expecting a lot more out of Turbo Richard maybe coming into this season. But I think this Pitt defense is more than up to the task of stopping the run. I think they did a decent job of it against Louisville, and they in a sense made Louisville one-dimensional. It didn't really matter because Louisville was able to kind of adjust to some of the pressures that Pitt was bringing and stuff like that in the second half. I think one of the last concerns I have with this Pitt team is their ability to defend the run.
I'll ask you about Pat Narduzzi, Stephen, before I go. This is Stephen Thompson, covers Pitt for the Post-Gazette. You know, and after every disappointing loss, no matter the sport, no matter the fan base, the more disappointing losses a team has, you're going to have a fan base that's questioning the job security of Pat Narduzzi. You know, in the years past when Pitt had struggled, it seemed like it was a little less feasible because of, you know, the buyout reportedly being something that was maybe out of Pitt's price range. But now Pitt's got a new athletic director in Alan Green. To the best of your knowledge, what is that connection like with a new AD and a, you know, 11th year head coach, and what Pat Narduzzi's future might look like as the Pitt head football coach? You know, hypothetically, like if Pitt has another disappointing year, what's the likelihood that a change could be made in your eyes?
Yeah. Here's what I'll say. So I think from based on my knowledge of what that buyout possibly could be, and I don't know the exact number, it would be out of a lot of people's price range, right? Like not just Pitt, but you know, Luke Fickell at Wisconsin has a buyout that's north of $20 million. And if, for example, the Badgers decide to fire Luke Fickell and move on from him, and to take that and pay that buyout, that would be a Big Ten record, right? And I think Pitt's buyout for Pat Narduzzi is north of $20 million as well.
Wow.
So like this just kind of to contextualize like what the, you know, kind of environment or like what the situation is. So I think anyone who's counting on a midseason firing, like you saw at, you know, Virginia Tech or Oklahoma State, or, you know, for example, I wouldn't count on that. Yeah, it's not going to be anything that happens midseason. I wouldn't expect it to happen this year. I think this is a year where Pitt had a bunch of expectations. And so you got to wait it out a little bit because we're still only four games into this thing. And, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility at all that a three-loss team could be playing in Charlotte for the ACC championship. And honestly, like the idea that a four-loss team could be playing for that in that ACC championship game isn't out of the question either, at least in my mind. So still a lot of season left to play. And I don't think the schedule looks nearly as difficult maybe as it did at the beginning of the season. And it always ebbs and flows. But, you know, Notre Dame, I don't think looks – they're not the top 10 team that they were in the preseason. Georgia Tech showed some cracks last week going to overtime against a Wake Forest team that's in a really hard rebuild. It was really tough to miss out on that Louisville game. I mean, Pitt is a handful of plays away from being 4-0. And yep. The one thing that gives me pause about Pat Narduzzi's job security is that I think coaching can be attributed to, you know, I think you can blame coaching for a decent chunk of why Pitt lost those two games, which is a tough pill to swallow. And then, you know, after 11 years, things start to get a little bit stale. But I would not count on, obviously, a midseason firing, like I said. And I think even a firing at the end of this year, even if it's more likely than it was, you know, back in August or July or something, it still seems like a pretty big long shot in my book.
Stephen Thompson covers the Panthers for the Post-Gazette, Pitt and Boston College at noon on Saturday. You can listen to it right here on 93.7 The Fan. All right, Stephen, we'll talk to you soon, man. Good to talk to you. Good to catch up, and we'll catch up again soon, brother.
Appreciate it. Go Sox.
All right, there he goes. 2-1 in the eighth. Carlos Narvaez at the dish. Just took ball four. So run number three for Boston. Trots down to first base. Nobody out. Top of the eighth. Jolie, we will get into our World Series picks to close the show. I didn't tell you that. I sent you the rundown. You might have gandered at that.
Is your pick still alive? My pick is, and I feel really good about who I picked.
Can I be
to win it all?
Can I be totally honest with you? I don't remember who I picked to win the World Series. I think it might have been the Yankees. It's not the Yankees anymore, I will tell you that. But, yeah, we'll get into it. It'll get fun in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll react to what Steven had mentioned in the next segment, and then at about 20 minutes or so, we'll talk to Joe Smeltzer of Nittany Sports Now, get the Penn State side of things, because they've got some concerns on their side of the aisle as well. So we'll react to Steven, talk some Penn State as well, and take your calls in the next segment at 412-928-9370. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jack Hillgrove. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen to Pomp and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week through the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday, 12 noon, at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Talking college football on the Fan Evening Show. Jack Hillgrove with you until 10:35 tonight. Just got done chatting it up with Stephen Thompson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And Stephen kind of opened up the Pat Narduzzi situation a little bit. Obviously, he's very plugged in. Beat writer. Covered Pitt for a couple of years. And the question that's on everybody's mind when it comes to Pat Narduzzi is, what's the future look like? Is there a future with Pat Narduzzi as the head coach of the Panthers? And I think it's a fair question. By the way, the way that this season has started, and you watch Pitt lose to Louisville the way that they did, and you watch Pitt lose to West Virginia the way that they did, I have no other explanation, no other way of thinking why what happened due to two things: quarterback play and coaching. And the quarterback play, you blame on the coaching as well, and especially in today's college football, when you bring a guy like Eli Holstein in the way that you do through the transfer portal, you lay it all out on the line for a guy like that. And Pat Narduzzi swung and missed with Phil Jurkovec in 2023. Did what he had to do, fired the entire offensive coaching staff, and Phil Jurkovec and pretty much the entire quarterback room was out of town. You insert Eli Holstein, it goes really well for the first half of the first year. And as Steven pointed out, we're nearing a full calendar year since Pitt has defeated a Power 5 opponent. Pitt has not beaten, I'm sorry, not just a Power 5 opponent, but an FCS opponent, FBS opponent, since last season. Since halfway through last season. That's an issue. That win was against Syracuse on October 24th. And here's my thought process on what's gone on. You see the way that the team collapsed down the stretch and you're watching what you're watching right now. And I can't help but go back to the thought that I had once this new offensive coaching staff was finalized heading into 2024. Cade Bell went from FCS to the Power 5. The defensive line coach, Tim Dowse, who I think has done a pretty darn good job, same thing. The tight ends coach and special teams coordinator for the Panthers, Jacob Bronowski, came from Miami of Ohio. Jeremy Darvaux, Western Carolina. J.J. Laster, the receivers coach, Western Carolina. Darvaux's the O-line coach. Those are all FCS to Power 5 jumps. I was underwhelmed, to be quite honest with you, at how the offensive coaching staff was filled out going into last season. Especially when guys that are linked to Georgia and SEC schools getting floated around for, especially the offensive coordinator, like, those are big time names and those have you excited. And then this is how the coaching staff was filled out. And to me, what you're watching for the last almost full calendar year when it comes to Pitt football is the repercussions of hiring several FBS and FCS and non-Power 4 assistants to fill out your staff. And Steven talking about the Pat Narduzzi buyout, and that is something that's been on a lot of folks' minds, especially those that follow the program and are Pitt diehards like yours truly. Luke Fickell is who Steven compared it to, and if you missed this conversation, rewind it. Luke Fickell's buyout at Wisconsin would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 million, and that would be a record in the Big Ten, a Big Ten record of buyout ever. Pat Narduzzi's, according to Stephen Thompson, and according to things that I've heard as well, is north of that. And in a day and age where you need all the money you can to pay players and bring them in and offer them lucrative enough NIL deals to stay competitive, can a program like Pitt manufacture a $20-plus million buyout? The answer is no. Texas A&M can do it. Texas A&M did it with Jimbo Fisher, and it was like, what, $77 million? That's a different world. That's the SEC. That is something that the Panthers and a lot of teams in the same sort of realm can't do. And if it makes you feel like Pitt is stuck, then that's the harsh reality of the situation. And I don't want to jump to big-time conclusions and say, yep, he's got to go, because there are a lot of good things that have happened over the last 11 years that Pat Narduzzi has been fully responsible for, an ACC championship, you know, bringing in a guy like Mark Whipple, Kenny Pickett. Like, it has been done before. So why can't it happen again? And the fortunes of Pitt's season can change. You rattle off a couple of wins. You rattle off a win against Boston College. You rattle off a win following the BC game at Syracuse. NC State at home. I skipped over Florida State because they're like 600 yards. I know they just lost to Virginia, but 600 yards a game, and that game's in Tallahassee. Yikes. Crazier things have happened, but I think that's a tall task. But if you win games that you're supposed to win at Syracuse, NC State at home, Stanford on the road, heading into Notre Dame, if they are, six and three, heading into the Notre Dame game, you may feel a little bit different about the way the season has gone. But again, it all starts on Saturday against Boston College. And, you know, can Eli Holstein bounce back? Is Desmond Reed okay? Can this Pitt run defense sustain its success? 70-some yards a game on average. It's the best in the conference so far. Can the secondary maybe take some of that good juju? And can the defense as a whole bounce back? Those are all questions that can be answered by good coaching. And I think Pat Narduzzi's got a lot to prove in the coming weeks because of that. On the flip side of things, you know, I complain about the lack of, you know, quality experience on Pitt's coaching staff as far as their assistants are concerned. On the flip side of that, Penn State, I think, has one of the best coaching staffs in the country. Two of the best coordinators in the country. And Andy Kotelnicki and Jim Knowles. And their biggest problem is the head coach. James Franklin said earlier in the week, and we're going to ask Joe Smeltzer all about this in the next segment. He covers the team for Nittany Sports Now. James's quote from his press conference was, "I'm not going to let one loss define our season." Started off good. Yeah, especially when you still can play Ohio State and theoretically, you know, one loss, you could squirt your way into a Big Ten championship. And then even if you're not in the Big Ten championship, 11-1, you're in the playoff. And then all bets are off at that point. But then he goes into saying, "I'm not going to let a few losses define my career." Guess what? I am. And I think, and I'm not even a Penn State fan, Joel Nelson is. Joel, are you going to let what James Franklin calls a few losses, 4-21 against top five teams, is that going to define his career? Because I sure as hell think it does.
I think so too. When it's that alarming, and for a team that, you know, he got Penn State in like 2014, they should have at least won national championship. They've barely sniffed it just once last year.
They have the makings of a blue chip, blue blood program in college football. They've got all the NIL money in the world. They have an 100,000 seat stadium. They've got a passionate fan base, and they have the resources and the good coaches to do it. What's holding them back is the head coach. The quarterback might be holding them back a little bit too. Drew Aller made a bonehead decision on the final play of the game, and that's what ultimately lost them the game against Oregon. But to hear James Franklin say he's not going to allow a few losses to diminish his career at Penn State, like, this is a fan base that expects them to compete for a national championship year in and year out, and they are just absolutely far away from the Ohio States and Michigans and Oregons of the world because they have all beaten them on a regular basis since James Franklin has become the Penn State head coach. Joe Smeltzer's coming up next. Covers the team for Nittany Sports Now. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'll talk to Joe, get the latest from State College coming up next. It's the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jack Hillgrove on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. This is The Fan Evening Show. My name is Jack Hillgrove. I'm taking you up until 10:35 tonight. Had a good conversation with Stephen Thompson about the woes of the Pitt Panthers. We're continuing the college football discussion with good friend and Nittany Sports Now's Joe Smeltzer. Good evening, Joseph.
Hey, Jack, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. I feel much better than I think James Franklin and Drew Aller feel, especially after Saturday night. It's funny how, you know, one game can change the narrative of a season, but I want to start with James Franklin. And the quote that really took me through a loop was, "I'm not going to let a few games define my career at Penn State," where I think, and again, I'm putting myself in the shoes of Penn State fans because I'm not one, but I think a lot of fans are willing to let a few, what James Franklin calls a few games, define his career at Penn State. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And it's not just Penn State fans. It's really everybody. We talk all the time, as obviously living in Pittsburgh and being around the Steelers, about Mike Tomlin and the disparity between how the local media and fans see him versus how the national media views him. The national media, for whatever reason, loves Mike Tomlin. The local media and Pittsburgh Steelers fans, it's a little more polarizing. But James Franklin, I think the narrative is about the same, whether it's a Penn State fan or whether it's a national analyst or Paul Feinbaum or whoever. It's that, yeah, this guy just can't get it done when it matters the most. And as Franklin correctly pointed out Saturday, it's not a narrative. It's fact at this point that Penn State just hasn't been good enough in these big games. But as far as the comment you brought up about Franklin saying that he's not going to let a few games define him, I get it, obviously. He's won a lot more than he's lost at Penn State. He's been to New Year's Six bowl games. He's won the Big Ten. He made it to the college football playoff and came within one game of a national title last year. But that's just a read the room comment where you got to understand how something might sound to your fan base. And right now, Penn State fans don't really want to hear about, you know, all the times they've went 10-2 or won in New Year's Six bowl games or whatever. They want to hear how James Franklin plans to change what's been Penn State's only weakness, and that's doing well and getting it done in big-time matchups. And James Franklin has said time and time again how he's the one that should be held accountable, how it hasn't been good enough, but he hasn't specifically said what needs to change at Penn State. And I think that's what Penn State fans want to hear, is how things are going to get how things as far as the process go are going to evolve, because staying the course obviously hasn't worked for them in these type of matchups.
What's your take on Drew Aller at this point in his career? Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that I think a lot of people thought could be a big time NFL prospect. He was even flirted around with potentially being in conversation for the top pick in next year's draft. But it seems like the positive narrative on Drew Aller has wavered a little bit, especially after that interception in overtime. Is Drew Aller the quarterback that can, you know, will this Penn State team to, you know, bouncing back from the loss that they just suffered to Oregon and getting this team to where they think it can go? And that's obviously a national championship.
Right now, Jack, there's no evidence really that he is point blank. You know, I think it's really what it comes down to with Drew Aller is overthinking and not having the right mentality to win these types of games. A great example was Saturday when, you know, Aller was poor for three quarters. They were down 17-3. But as soon as Penn State got themselves in a situation where Drew Aller had no choice but to let loose and let it rip, things started happening. They scored a touchdown to cut the sun that ended up tying the game. And I think that really illustrates right there how important the mental aspect is for a quarterback. And you think about the games in the past, you know, Oregon last year, Penn State was down 28-10, and lo and behold, the passing game starts getting things done because they had no choice but to let it rip. Whereas the Notre Dame game, it was close throughout, and Drew Aller ends up throwing what is still his most costly interception at Penn State. But yeah, as far as, you know, can this be the guy to get Penn State over the hump? He's had his chances. Ohio State 2023, he was poor, and Penn State lost. Michigan later that year, he was very poor again. Penn State ended up losing. Then last week, the Notre Dame game, the same type of story. So, yeah, and these are all games, Jack, where Penn State would have won if they got a better offense. And obviously, a better offense is keyed by the quarterback play. So, is Drew Aller the guy to get Penn State over the hump? I think at this point, you believe it when you see it.
Chatting up with Joe Smeltzer, covers the team for Nittany Sports Now. I believe it was on the NBC broadcast, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but somebody flashed a graphic of quarterback A and quarterback B through 2025, and it was Bo Prabula compared to Drew Aller. And Bo Prabula, obviously a former Penn State quarterback, now at Missouri. The Tigers are 5-0, and Prabula's got better numbers than Drew Aller. Over 1,200 yards already, 9 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. Are you going to go there that Penn State maybe let the wrong quarterback walk, or is that maybe a little bit far-fetched of a take?
Oh, that's way far-fetched, I think. And hey, I get like why people are thinking it. Not only is Bo Prabula doing very well on that, Missouri has a 76% completion rate, for crying out loud. And Drew Aller hasn't been good enough against Oregon, and really hasn't been good enough this season in general. But and even with the fact that Andy Kotelnicki's offense suits Bo Prabula's strengths a little better than it would a pocket passer like Drew Aller, James Franklin even admitted that before last season when I asked him a question about Bo Prabula at Big Ten Media Days in Indy. Even still, with what Bo Prabula has done, you look at his numbers. They played Central Arkansas, then Kansas, who was a bad power, a bad Big 12 Power 4 program, then University of Louisiana, then South Carolina, and then UMass. The only quality team there, I think, is South Carolina. And in that game, Bo Prabula went 16-27 for 171 yards and a touchdown. So all really Bo Ferreira has proven so far is that he could run better than Drew Aller, which we all knew, and that he could take apart suspect defenses. And Drew Aller's been doing that against poor competition. The issue with Drew Aller has been his ability to perform in big games, while Bo Ferreira hasn't played a big game yet, so how do we know that he can do it too? So, and at the end of the day, when you're a guy that has first-round potential, you're not going to get benched for a guy like Bo Ferreira. So I don't think Penn State needs to lose any sleep over that.
As the season rolls along for the Nittany Lions, obviously a big-time matchup is forthcoming the beginning of November against Ohio State and Indiana as well. Like there are games in which that Ohio, or rather Penn State, can use themselves to bounce back. You know, you go 11-1, then you're still in the thick of the college football, definitely the thick of the college football playoff picture, but also, you know, getting into a Big Ten championship game. But Penn State still has to come up big time in those games, and they have not under James Franklin. Number one Ohio State on November 1st, and then you're at home against Indiana on November 8th. If there is like a couple of aspects for Penn State fans to maybe rest their head on that say, hey, a month from now, you know, we could beat Ohio State or we could beat Indiana. What are some of the things that, you know, that can make Penn State fans say that, you know, despite the disappointing loss to Oregon?
Well, before I answer that, Jack, some interesting news about Penn State's upcoming opponent, UCLA, and news that will definitely interest you is that Tino Sunseri has been fired as offensive coordinator. So how about that?
How about that?
Yep. But, and I don't – the crazy thing is, Jack, is that I don't think there's anything Penn State can do to give the fans that confidence, because they have proven – everything except that they can beat these top-tier opponents. Like, say they're not going to prove anything by beating UCLA this weekend. UCLA is god-awful, as evidenced by the news that I just shared. They're not going to prove anything by beating Northwestern on homecoming in 2 weeks because, you know, Northwestern is Northwestern and only beats said god-awful UCLA team by 3 points. Playing Iowa, you know, they can win those type of games. They've won at Iowa before under James Franklin. They've won in places like Wisconsin, too, similar type environment. So, and then after that is Ohio State. So, no, I don't think there's anything in these three games that could give Penn State fans confidence that the team can beat Ohio State, because they haven't done it before, and they've beaten just about every other type of team plenty of times under James Franklin. So you're not going to have that confidence, I don't think, until you beat Ohio State. And then as far as Indiana goes, whatever that narrative surrounding that game is determined by what happens at Ohio State. Because as you mentioned at the beginning of this segment, Jack, one game can change the narrative in a negative or positive way. And if Penn State could somehow find a way to beat Ohio State in Columbus, people are going to have a lot of different things to say about James Franklin. But no, I think everybody's expected outcome right now is that Penn State finishes where they finish so often under James Franklin, and that's 10-2, and they're going to go to the playoffs and probably have to go on the road. That's how it is, and that's not at all what Penn State fans expected or wanted with the talent that this team brought back and with the money that was invested into this season, both on the team and on the coaching staff, with bringing Jim Mills along. So, Penn State has three games against vastly inferior teams before Ohio State, and I can't see a way, unless they somehow win like by an average of 90-0. I don't see how they can get the confidence to a level to where too many people are expecting them to go into Columbus and beat Ohio State.
Joe, last question for you, because it was my last question to Stephen Thompson about Pat Narduzzi. Like, let's say that Penn State ends up, you know, going on the road in the college football playoff and they're an early exit, and what they want.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.